When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Jacqueline of Betty.
And I'm Liv Purvis of What Olivia Did.
And together we are
The Fringe of It.
Together, I was a bit worried we weren't going to be able to do it at the same time.
Every week we do it in time, and every week I just, I'm like, yes. But you've come to South London today.
I have, and the weather's really nice. I got up a little bit earlier than normal so that I could get here first thing in the morning so we could get on, and I dressed all wrong.
I know, it's a little bit fresh outside, but it's a gorgeous afternoon. I think we're edging into summer now. Can we say that yet?
No, not yet.
Oh.
My birthday's on Sunday, and I remember, like, growing up, there was, you know, the birthday parties were always risky. It was like, are we outdoors? Are we indoors?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a heat wave, other times you get a downpour.
And people would say, oh, she's a spring baby.
Yeah, yeah. So not yet, June. We have to wait till June.
Okay, well, it feels like it. We've got the big old royal wedding this weekend.
I am so excited about the royal wedding. I thought it wasn't being televised, but apparently it is.
Oh, is it? I've checked the Radio Times, not only on BBC, but ITV.
Oh. I should have just come to you.
I know. That's the thing. By the time this goes up, the wedding will have happened as well.
I've not really surrounded myself with too much wedding chat, so I'm excited for it. I don't feel like I'm exhausted yet.
I'm not exhausted, but I'm very excited.
Obviously, just want to see what they're both wearing.
I can't wait till next week when we have a full debrief on the whole,
fiasco. Let's save it until then. So this week is our unlucky for some 13th episode. I hope that's not tainted it. This week's podcast, just to warn you, we do briefly discuss abortion and also touch upon murder as well. So I just wanted to give you fair warning in case anybody is affected by that and would rather skip it. So just skip the TV chat, I think, or the catch up. But hopefully, I feel it was something that I wanted to discuss, so hopefully you think it's within context.
Yeah, I think it is in context, and it's important to discuss it also.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get on with this week's episode.
Welcome to The Fringe of It.
Episode number 13. How you been, Liv? How's your week been?
Oh, it's been lovely. I've been in Italy.
Whereabouts?
South Tyrol.
Where is that in the boots?
In the boot, it's definitely, but it's the knee-high bit.
Oh, right, okay, interesting. I've not been to the knee-high bit.
Yeah, then
is it over the knee, or is it kind of, is it thigh-high?
Oh, it's above the knee.
Oh,
sure.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, no, it's on the Austrian, well, near to Austria. It's in very, very north of Italy. Kind of when we started, it was more very Mediterranean, and we kind of ended in, like, the border of Austria, which is very alpine.
Italy definitely has regions, doesn't it? Like, I've been to Florence, Tuscany. Have I been anywhere else? But, you know, they were so vastly different.
Yeah, it's got lots of very charming pockets. But, oh no, it's beautiful, very green, very full of pasta.
Quite rainy, I saw.
It was a little bit rainy. I thought, you know, being the generous person I am, I'd leave the weather in the UK, and that's exactly what I did.
That's nice of you. That was very nice of you. What pasta did you have? The pasta in Italy, oh my goodness.
I've eaten a lot of pasta. So I had a tomato, like, with burrata.
Very burrata. Like pomodoro,
you know, safe bet.
Oh, you've mentioned the B word. All I want is burrata.
Also had some, I think I've ravioli on one day.
Did you just keep ordering pasta?
I did. It got to, like, almost, like, four meals consecutively after the other, like, lunch, dinner, and then I thought, I need to mix things up a bit.
Can I have a side salad with that, please?
I know, I ordered a salad on one occasion instead, and it came with burrata and bacon, and it was just massive. I might as well have just ordered pasta. It was about as healthy as that.
You got burrata then. My mum didn't know what it was, and I feel like I've only just been educated in the past couple of years. So it's a different type of mozzarella, isn't it? And it's almost cased in a shell, and then when you open it, it's quite liquidy.
Very creamy inside. Oh. It's like mozzarella with a creamy centre.
Oh, it's just heaven.
It's so delicious.
I'm so upset I'm not eating it right now because it's that good.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I know, but that's the thing. Charlotte and I were planning on going for lunch today after we'd recorded the podcast. Unfortunately, the place we were planning on going isn't open until 5 o'clock.
Which is actually good, because I'm moving house next week, and so far I've not even packed a sock. So for me to just go into London for lunch, just a bit excessive, really.
Yeah, so, well, next time we can do a full review of our lunch location. But yeah, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I was in Dublin.
Oh, yes.
I feel like we've lived many a life this week. Some weeks I'm like, oh, podcast day again. We only recorded yesterday.
I know.
And then other weeks it's like, oh, you've been to Italy, I've been to Dublin. So I went to Dublin. It didn't rain. The forecast was rain for 3 days. We got there on Friday, me and my mum, and it was raining. But it was okay. It was a light drizzle because the forecast, I love talking about weather, the forecast was like double raindrops.
Oh, not
a
double.
And I was like, that's going to be heavy. So I packed a Mac. Okay. If anybody's wondering what is the appropriate situation to wear a Mac, it's probably Dublin in May. I found it so useful. I've had that Mac for a year and not really worn it, so I was really pleased. Gorgeous weather on the Saturday and Sunday. And generally, I just love Dublin. It's the second time I've been. The people of Ireland are just the loveliest people
in
the world.
Oh,
the taxi drivers.
Charming.
Just, I had so much fun. Like, I was actually like, belly laughing in taxis. They were just so interesting.
And how was it? What did you get up to?
So I was there with a brand. So it was sponsored, but my chat of Dublin on this podcast is not. We went and just had a look, really. My mum hasn't been before, so I kind of went over places that I'd already been that I knew she'd really like. But we went to Dublin Castle, we went to the Botanical Gardens, which are free to get into, and Ooh. It was beautiful. There was lots of, I think, lots of young girls who had had their communion, and they were having their pictures taken amongst the botanical gardens.
That was stunning.
Yeah, they were so gorgeous. Where else did we go? Oh, we went on an afternoon tea bus.
Oh my giddy aunt.
That was great. I've done one in London, but everywhere else outside of London you can actually drive.
Yeah.
Whereas London, you're just stuck in traffic.
Yeah, you're kind of like mooching along at stop, start, stop, start.
Yeah, so we saw like amazing parts of Dublin that necessarily we wouldn't have kind of bothered to walk to. So that was really enjoyable. Just kind of lunches, cocktails, shopping.
Any standout restaurants? I know you'll be posting about it, so I don't want to...
There was a really good one. I've still got the injury. That's from a lobster. I went to a place called Claw with a K.
Ooh.
It's like the Kardashians had got to it. and they basically just sold fish, but like shellfish. So mussels, prawns, crab, lobster.
Mm.
There was just three different types of drinks. It was great. And then a place called the Vintage Cocktail Club, which I've been to before.
I've been there.
Oh, have you?
I've been there.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's almost a bit speakeasy.
Yeah. Like, we went in at 5 o'clock on Friday. It was really nice sunshine. And then it was, like, pitch black with candlelight.
I know.
But their cocktails are, oh, my goodness, their Pisco Sour. I've been dreaming about it for 3 years. So it was nice to go back. But I've been talking a lot. I will let you talk in a moment. But one thing I kind of did want to say about Dublin, and I talked about it on Instagram stories, and I really thought about it before I went on Instagram stories to discuss it, but I kind of feel we've spoken about this. But going on in Dublin at the moment is the referendum for abortion, basically. So if anybody doesn't know, in Ireland, abortion is illegal unless it occurs as a result of a medical intervention performed to save the life of the mother. However, there has been cases recently where that hasn't happened, and that's resulted in kind of death, basically, of the mum. So every single lamppost, and I mean every single lamppost, had a big yes board and a big no board. And there was people like campaigning on the streets. And I just felt on my Instagram stories that I had to talk about it because, you know, we all go to places to find, you know, the best cafes, the best bars, the best restaurants, the best Instagrammable spots. But for me to ignore what was happening in Dublin seemed really crazy. So lots of women seek abortions illegally. So they'll order pills off the internet, which they then administer without medical help, which obviously is just insanely
really dangerous.
But obviously they feel they have no choice. And I don't know. I just felt quite emotional the whole weekend because, you know, I believe in a woman's right to choose. So I put it out there on Instagram stories and I got a really positive reaction. I wasn't looking for, you know, approval, but
yeah,
sometimes it's quite easy to ignore what's happening politically just because you want to, you know, stay indifferent on the internet.
I think that's it. And I think sometimes you're almost, you feel like our sensitivity of someone kind of saying something about what you've said is almost greater than actually discussing something.
Yeah.
Whereas actually sometimes you think actually me talking about something this important is more key than me getting a little bit upset because someone didn't agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing. I've really got into a political hole here. But, you know, when we discuss politics and we discuss, you know, what parties we're all for, I think we need to remember, Queer Eye taught me this, but we can have political disagreements, but it doesn't mean that wholly you're a evil person because you disagree with people politically. So that was really eye-opening, and I think it's on the 24th of May, the referendum. And then I had loads of messages from people, well, not loads, but discussing other things. So somebody said it was really difficult for trans men and women, the language that we talk about abortion, it makes it really difficult for people that in really small minorities to get abortions. And then somebody else pointed out that in Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, abortion is illegal in similar circumstances, and so is gay marriage. And it just seems to me really interesting that we're part of the United Kingdom, I'm doing my inverted commas, it just doesn't get discussed on our news. And like,
yeah,
I know it's very difficult in Northern Ireland, all, you know, it's a lot to do with religion and things like that, but it just got me really thinking, my trip to Dublin.
But the thing is, it is so positive to speak about these things, I think, and to discuss them. And when you have these larger platforms to, like, discuss this conversation, because it's, yeah, like you said, it's nice going to somewhere and finding a nice, cute shop or cafe. But with something like that, which is so rooted in, you know, what's going on at the moment, so current, you think, how can you not discuss it? How can you not? And it's affecting women like you and I. And
exactly. And that's what I was thinking, because I kind of waited 24 hours after I got back and was thinking, how can I talk about this? But I just kind of spoke honestly and just said what I saw.
Yeah.
And then, you know, saying that I do believe in a woman's right to choose, which is...
That's the thing. And we're so privileged to have that choice.
Yeah.
And it's being able to address that. And, you know, obviously we can't help make that change, unfortunately, because we're not over there. But then if someone is listening over there, you know, it can help.
Well, I was really interested because I stumbled on like a bit of a research hole after that. And there's a big campaign of people like going back to vote, because I think that I don't know the ins and outs of it. But it was just really interesting. So in short, I went to Dublin and had a nice time. What else have I been doing? I've been avoiding packing, anything to avoid packing.
Oh, that's the thing. When I moved last year, I feel like the novelty wears off very quickly. I was very quick to be like, oh, I'll get a few big yellow boxes and then I'll put my underwear in them like I'm going on holiday. And then I'm like, that's it, that's me. And then suddenly you're like going under the bed when there's stacks of NME magazines from like 2003 and you're like, oh, I have to think of something to do with this.
Yeah, like they meant so much at the time. I kept every single copy of NME, and then I think...
I have still got them. I left them at home under the bed. So, Mum, if you're listening, don't go under George's bed. There is nothing under there that needs to be gotten rid of.
I don't think she'll be going underneath George's bed anywhere. I'm going to introduce shopping.
Oh, let's go on shopping.
One thing that I did do in Dublin was I did some vintage shopping.
Oh!
And it's reignited my love for secondhand and eBay, and now I can't stop.
Oh, God.
So I went in a vintage shop. It was called Harlequin. I looked up in the mirror and I saw...
I saw myself.
Luckily, I couldn't see myself. But I saw an embroidered bag in the mirror and I turned around and I was like, that's the embroidered bag that I've been looking for years.
Oh, my God.
Because I wanted like...
How have I not seen this?
I don't know. I'll show you a picture in a minute. But it's kind of a cross-stitch bag, cream with like a tapestry on it. And it was just really lovely. And I realised how much I love shopping vintage, and I haven't been doing it for quite some time. So now, after I got back from Dublin, I'm on eBay. I've got saved searches going on. I've got some bidding going on.
Oh, God, she's in a bidding war.
Yeah.
I feel like it's weird, isn't it? Because the high street at the moment, especially, has got a lot of like 80s inspired pieces. Yeah. lots of cool pastel things, loads of baskets, loads of wicker. And I'm like, this is all stuff that is so readily available for a cheaper price in vintage
and
stores.
And better quality.
And no one else has it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've been selling stuff on Depop, which I've been really enjoying. So then I've been kind of like thinking in my head, I've got this little pot of money that then I can buy. And I was even looking at kind of secondhand Ola Kylie stuff on eBay. Ugh. You know, because sometimes you buy something for a season, wear it, and then the novelty wears off and then you want to sell it.
Yeah.
Well, I will buy that off you.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I love Depop because there's so many things I see on, like, Pinterest or, like, something Alexa Chung's worn months ago. And I'm like, oh, I like that. And then I'm just starting searches.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, so I'm really, really... That's one of the things that I've bought this week. What else have I bought this week? Because it's my birthday on Sunday, which I've only mentioned once so far.
Yeah, very controlled.
I treated myself to some Glossier products.
Ooh.
They're arriving today via DPD at 2:45 and 3:45.
Oh, what have you ordered?
So I ordered the mascara.
Oh, I've not tried that.
No, well, it's only been out a week, hasn't it?
Yeah, calm down. Calm,
but the
calm yourself.
They invented it because I'm assuming Emily Wise, she got lash extensions and she was like, I can only get lash extensions for so long before I have no eyelashes left, so I better invent a decent mascara. So
can't you just relate with that?
Yeah, that's literally how I felt, because I've always wondered, would I be a better person with lash extensions? But I know friends that have got them and they're kind of addicted to getting them because I know your actual eyelashes fall out. Sorry, I don't know why that's funny. But, you know, it's crazy what we do for beauty. So I'm hoping the mascara is going to be good.
Next time I see you, I'll be like, whoa.
I'm hoping. And what else did I get? Oh, I got the birthday balm because it's my birthday.
Yeah, and it tastes amazing.
Does it? I could just eat it.
Yeah.
And I got the rose balm. And I got, what are these called?
Lid Stars.
Yes, and I think I got Moon.
Ooh.
And I think I stopped there because it was enough, quite frankly. I didn't need
Cloud
Paints next, but I thought, let's wait.
I love the solution. It's been quite a divisive product.
Oh, isn't it divisive?
I know, I love it though. It really, really helped clear up my skin.
Honestly, it really divides people.
I know.
Sorry, I had a hiccup.
You're queen of reviews as well. You really read reviews.
I love reading reviews.
On a website, if either of us ever consider buying something, Charlotte's on the reviews.
We were on Free People yesterday, both of us just having a bit of a wish list shop. And I heard from my friend in e-commerce that even if it's a negative review, people are more likely to buy it with a negative, any kind of review.
Wow.
Because it can make you, because even if that person puts a negative review, as long as it's like, this is just rubbish, don't buy it, like that's not constructive. But generally, the negative reviews are constructive. So you can be like, oh, she's smaller than me or bigger than me or we've got different priorities. And I just live for an online review.
You're very right. That seems right, actually, because I was looking at a few things. They didn't have any reviews. And I was like, oh, is that because no one's bought it?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas then things with reviews, I'm like, oh.
Even, yeah. That's what I bought. I was going to buy a Christy Dawn dress.
Oh. I just thought of something else then. I didn't mean to do a Tom Jones. Oh.
And it is embroidered. I don't even know how to describe it. It's a maxi. It's got lace panels and embroidered flowers on. And it comes in black and it comes in cream. But the size that I needed was sold out. So I've signed up for a restock.
Oh. I love waiting for a restock email.
Me too, because it's kind of like, I'm going to be the first to know, so calm down.
I can relax now, put my feet up.
Yeah, I'm on the mailing list waiting to be contacted, so that's what I've bought this week. What about you?
This week, well, we've got some shelves built, which
is so exciting.
In our spare room, as I'm sure Charlotte can justify, this house has been a mess since we've moved in, basically.
Well, it's not been a mess.
This room, this one corner of this room has.
It was out of control.
We had some wardrobe in here when we moved in. We filled it up and then we took the wardrobe down and all the contents of the wardrobe were in a corner.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a Monica cupboard, it was just a Monica corner.
It was a Monica corner. But now we have shelves built and I'm really happy with them, actually. Despite the faff that we went through to get them done, they look really swanky.
I like the knobs.
Oh, they've got some lovely knobs on them from Anthropologie, which I'm very happy with. So that's been quite a big purchase for me. But I have been coveting a lot of the Doan dresses.
Oh, we had a late night WhatsApp sesh.
Oh, and they are just gorgeous. If you're familiar with the brand Doan, they are US-based and they just do so many. I think they're quite ethical as well. I'm not sure of the extent, but I know they've got a really nice kind of message behind them. and they just do the most gorgeous, floaty, bohemian, without being too kind of like... Do you know what I mean? They're still quite... They're very wearable.
They're just beautiful.
They are slightly more costly, but they are stunning.
Oof. Yeah, but I think as well, price per wear. And also,
yeah,
talking
right.
of the high street, I have been, every time I have the urge, not buying something and seeing how long I think about it for afterwards.
Yeah.
So, Zara this season, I've only bought that suit. That's the only thing I've bought from Zara this season. So then you can afford to be a bit more spendy on the other purchases if you're buying less.
Yeah, I do think that. And I think we've touched on this before. I think it'd be nice to do more of it, like shopping sensibly.
I just want to interrupt because I just smell so good.
Oh. Well, and what do you smell of, Charlotte?
Well, you'll have to tell me exactly what I smell of, but basically because Liv shelves it in, she's actually like... merchandise them almost, and there was a little corner of Margiela perfumes, and I just basically thought I was in Selfridges or House of Fraser.
Started spritzing herself with about three of them at once.
But I just keep getting a whiff of myself. I think it's sensational.
I think I've got it on as well, so I think I get a whiff and then
so what am I wearing?
The fragrance you are wearing is Promenade in the Gardens.
Oh, that's how I feel.
Oxfordshire 1986, shaded and flowered paths.
I am sat there right now.
Oh, and the bottle's got this beautiful cloth kind of sticker on it. And it's, I mean, sticker doesn't make it that far less romantic.
I'm going to say it has a cloth label that has been very carefully punched with a typewriter.
Oh, that's exactly the image we're going for here. Oh.
I like what they say. Oh, I get it now. So the Margiela perfume is called Replica, which is a reproduction of familiar scents and moments of varying locations and periods.
It's so romantic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I feel like I should just spritz it.
Spritz the microphone. I really hope the microphone doesn't blow up because it's just been sprayed with perfume.
That was meant to be a romantic sound effect. Did it go?
Yeah, that could be the end of the podcast.
As we know it.
Shall we continue with Telly Chat?
Let's continue.
I'm going to let you go first because I feel like I just talked for the first 18 minutes of the podcast.
Okay, I will dive in. So this week I've actually started watching something from the beginning again, and that is Line of Duty.
Oh.
Have you watched this?
No.
We discussed this?
Yes.
Have we?
Yes.
Okay, well, basically, I'm watching it again with Jo, but that's not... I've got something else to say, don't worry.
She better have, otherwise we're going to have to pause the podcast while she goes and finds something
goes
to watch.
And watches something. So Jo's never watched it before, but we're watching it again, and it's one of my favourite things I've ever watched. I've only watched the third series.
Where can people watch it if they...
Netflix. It was on the BBC.
Oh, okay, now it's on Netflix.
But basically, Jo hasn't watched it before, and I've watched the third series, so I'm being that annoying person where I'm like, oh, they're still in it, and Joe's like, please stop talking now. I realise Love Island is also all on Netflix.
So how many series are on Netflix?
I think two or three.
But it's hefty, Love Island, because I tried to get into it last year. Obviously I had a newborn, it was quite difficult.
Oh, it's...
But I can't commit every night.
You know, just let's start from the new series because okay. I feel like we need to discuss it as it happens because I was obsessed last year.
Yeah, I really wanted to get into it, but yeah, I was trying to keep a small human alive.
I mean, that's more important, arguably.
I know, but I just felt like I was missing out.
I loved it, and I didn't think I would. I went into it and I was a bit cynical, but I'm very excited for it to be back. I think it's back in a couple of weeks.
Okay,
so
fine.
We've got time. Every night at 9 p.m. we need to be indoors now.
I mean, that is the thing. Every night, it's a commitment.
But I love it. I love that routine. I yearn for that kind of routine in my life.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay. Have you been watching anything else?
No, but I have downloaded a brilliant podcast. No, not a podcast, an app. Oh, God, all right, Nan. I've downloaded a brilliant app, which I really wanted to quickly talk about. And I was going to tell you before we started recording. I downloaded this app by Poppy Jamie of Pop and Suki. And it's called Happy Not Perfect.
Oh.
And it is brilliant. I downloaded it last night. And that's your phone. And
I'd like it, so you feel free to download it on my phone.
I will download it, but it is so good. It's almost like a meditation app, to a sense. I didn't have any expectation, but you download it, and it's basically got five different stages.
What did it just tell you to do? Something with your
exhale
shoulders?
Exhale and exhale. So you open the app, and yeah, it's got all these different stages to it, and it's very calming. So
firstly, there's a beautiful scenery of the sea.
Of the waves. And yeah, it says, good afternoon, and you can take five to relax and refocus, and then you start today's refresh. And then you can select how you're feeling. So,
oh my goodness, meh is an option, which is my favourite
emotion.
Well,
so,
not my favourite feeling.
So but I selected meh. And then it's got like a breathing exercise, so you can breathe for like 30 seconds. And then after that, it then goes on to that you write down all the things that are bothering you on that day, and then you set fire to it. It's so amazing.
I love stuff like that.
And then it's got like a drawing section, and then it's got list like some things you're feeling grateful for.
Oh, nice.
So yesterday I did it because I was a bit like bummed about a few things, and I wrote them all down. But then I then started thinking about all the things I was grateful for,
yeah.
And it totally outweighed it, totally. Yeah. But anyway, it's just such a brilliant app, and it's called Happy Not Perfect. It's free to download. I think you can buy add-ons and all of those things. But yeah,
I was going to get that.
It was so nice. I was in the car home, and I was a bit like, you know, feeling a bit anxious, and it was just so nice. And it was different to the just pure meditation breathing
apps.
Yeah,
that looks great, and the graphics look great.
It's nice to have something that's a bit interactive.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. So I haven't been watching it. Watching that on my phone.
I am downloading
that. Refocusing. What have you been watching this week?
So I wanted to talk about something I've not been watching, first of all, but it was the TV BAFTAs on Sunday, and we were going to bed. Me and Jack have been staying up late this week, and
I know you were WhatsApping me at midnight.
I know, and today I just can't stop yawning. but Jack, we were going to sleep, and then June's still in our room, and we had the Hoover sound, so we can barely hear each other if we need to communicate to each other in bed. And he was like, a TV show I worked on got a TV BAFTA. And A, I was really proud of him, but B, the show is called Murdered for Being Different, and it was on the Beeb, and it was up against Black Mirror. So when Jack found out it was nominated for a TV BAFTA, he was like, you know, it's against Black Mirror. And I said, yeah, it's up against Black Mirror, but I think it's such a powerful programme. And it was a TV show, and it was a real life drama about the murder of a 20-year-old girl who was called Sophie Lancaster in 2007, and her and her boyfriend Robert Maltby were walking through the park, and because they were dressed like goths, basically she got attacked and she tragically died, and he ended up in a coma. And when Jack was working on it, he's a standby prop hand, which if loads of people don't know what that is, please go and Google it, because trying to explain it is really difficult. But he doesn't make props. Well, he does kind of... Oh, go and Google it, please. It's a very...
It's a very interesting job, though.
A very interesting job. And when he was working on it, he was quite affected by it, because they had to go to the town where it happened. I mean, nothing compared to what the families have been through. But, you know, he just really took it on. And I think a lot of the cast and the crew did, because it was just such a awful series of events. So I was like thrilled that it won a BAFTA, because it thoroughly deserved it. And Sophie's family have actually set up a charity in her honor, so against kind of hate crimes. So that's just something I wanted to mention in the TV section. And then, totally changing the subject from something very, very awful to something not so, I've been watching Beverly Hills Cops.
Wow. Wow, that is a contrast of sorts.
Yeah, so that's what I've been watching. Me and Jack, we basically have watched so much Friends that somebody needs to stage an intervention. And Jack was like, we need to put something else other than Friends. And I was like, do you know what? I think we do.
When it comes to the point where you both agree about that as well, yeah. You know you're turning a corner.
So Jack went downstairs to get his DVD collection.
Oh, wow. You've got the DVD of it.
So what he did, because he had hundreds and hundreds of DVDs, we consolidated them into a folder. It's like a big beefy folder.
Oh, smart.
And basically he was like, I've got the DVD. And I didn't even know we had a function to play DVDs, but yeah. Apparently the Xbox, you can put a DVD in it. So we watched Beverly Hills Cops 1 and 2 with Eddie Murphy, and it was brilliant. It was just everything you want an 80s film to be. It had freeze frames, it had, you know, like the soundtracks that are just really inspiring.
Yeah, okay, like power tunes.
Yeah, it was, and it was really kind of laugh out loud. Have you seen Beverly Hills Cops 1 or 2? We're going to watch 3 tonight.
Oh, how many are there?
There's just 3.
Okay, I'm going to have to get on this.
But it's just made me, because me and Jack have got an ambition. It's our 10-year anniversary next year, and we want to be in California for it. Well, and I said, when we go to Beverly Hills, I want like the 80s tunes on, and we're going to make a montage sequence.
Oh my god, can I come over just to film it?
Yeah,
can that be more?
Well, yeah, because you know, if you're going to be in the montage, we only need you for a few seconds.
Perfect. I'll look at my flights later.
But what was it about that era where just like it, and it's so Beverly Hills specific, like we're like driving down Sunset Boulevard and things like that.
Oh, I love it. I think there is something about LA that is like almost a parody of itself. There is that kind of real escapism. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm in a movie.
I feel like I've got a real like 80s power ballad in my head, and I'm dancing to it.
Let me paint a picture. Charlotte's walking, and she's got like, she had a, well, she's on the spot, but she had her arm up, like she had a boombox for a second there. I don't know where she thought she was.
But I was in Beverly Hills.
Sorry to disappoint.
So that's what we've been watching, and it's been really good because I always think unstable times of your life. I liked it, which is why I've been watching so much Friends. Watch something that's happy and reassuring.
Yeah.
And that's what Eddie Murphy's done for me.
And you're going to look back on this period and then be like, oh, I remember when I watched that film.
Beverly Hills Cops 1, 2 and Tonight 3.
Oh my goodness.
I haven't watched anything else or downloaded any of the apps.
I did watch First Dates last night for the first time in a while.
So I had you texting me about First Dates and my mum texting me about First Dates.
Oh, it was brilliant.
I hadn't seen it and I just kind of wanted to cut out the middleman so you could talk to each other.
I know, I really wanted to text your mum. It was very loosely like royal wedding themed as well, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, but how did they do that?
I think, I don't really know. Like they were kind of like, there was a Kate Middleton lookalike on there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I used the word lookalike quite loosely.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't really know why they kept bringing up the royal wedding.
They were like, we will tie this in.
And then we will do this love relationship. But there were a couple of people, one guy, oh, I won't spoil it, but it was fantastic.
Can you give us any
I was going to say, I was like, hang on, we spoil television every week. Why is this week any different?
Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
There was one guy who was so fancy that he had his own like family like motto, almost a Latin kind of like, I was going to say method.
Did
then.
They have a crest?
Well, he had a tattoo on his back. I was like, wow, you're a posh guy.
Wow.
You're a fancy guy.
I might put that to my family and see if they fancy it.
I know. I did want to open up the floor to the purposes, actually. And so,
yeah, what do you think your family motto could be?
Oh, I'd like to know. Probably, I can't even think. It's so ridiculous. But then there was a couple of other guys. There was a couple. And one guy came in a kilt, which was absolutely brilliant. He was such a confident, amazing guy. And he had a date with this other guy who had the most turbulent upbringing I've ever heard. It was heartbreaking.
Sometimes they kill me, those backstories.
Oh, and you're just in this date and you're like, aren't they getting along nicely? And then they do a cutaway and they're being interviewed and you're like, wow,
you're like,
not
the
for
fact,
seven.
Yeah, the fact that you've got out the door with all that.
And you're so upbeat, and he was so positive. And that was another one of those moments where you kind of think, oh, really puts it in perspective.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was so lovely. I forgot how much I loved it. I feel like sometimes when you love a series, you get out of the habit of watching it.
First Dates, I'm so behind. Again, I just don't feel like it's advertised enough.
I know.
My notifications aren't coming up on my 4OD app.
I know, and then suddenly you start watching it, and you're like, oh, this is why I love it.
I'm going to download an episode for the train home.
Oh, yeah, because you can do that now, yeah. Get on it.
We talk about that every week.
I know.
It's like the halloumi kebabs.
And it's like, oh my God. And every week it surprises me. My memory's like a sieve.
I went into Marks and Spencer's, searched high and low for those halloumi kebabs. Could I find them? No. Shall we get on to this week's topic?
Yes, let's do it.
So this week we are still, after our big brainstorming session of last week, still going through the topics that you have selected and suggested on our pinned post.
Yes, which was very helpful. So thank you so much for all of that. We are, like, because it's themed really, because you're moving house next week. And we thought we would talk all about buying and renting a home.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We've actually got some questions. We'll get onto those in a bit. We've selected some because there was 25 comments on our thing.
And they're still increasing.
Yeah.
So
we're not experts.
No, we're not. I mean, I wish I was more like Martin Money Lewis, but alas.
I wish we were both more like Martin Money Lewis.
I'd have less cash flow issues.
Put it this way, I wouldn't be renting, I don't think.
But we thought it'd be a nice time. We both wanted to touch on this for quite a long time because I bought a house last year. Charlotte is moving up, changing locations.
Yeah, Margate to Lincoln. But I rent. So we've both kind of faced very different issues.
Yeah.
And we thought we could discuss them. So I'm going to start grilling you.
Oh.
Because I'm fascinated at how one buys a house because I haven't got the foggiest.
It really was something that we did not have any idea how to go about it.
It's peculiar that, I mean, I'm not going to, I've probably ranted about this before, but what do we get taught at school?
None of it.
Like, can we sex ed, taxes and buying houses?
Oh, we need, I really, like even mortgages and just go. Joe and I, when we first went into an estate agent, we walked in and we were like, we were literally standing outside for about 10 minutes going, what do you say when you walk into an estate agent? Hello.
I'd like a house.
I'd like a house, please. And that's what ended, like, it was ludicrous. We sounded like Paddington Bear going, I would like to buy a house, please, Aunt Lucy. Like, I had no idea. So I made Joe do it for the first time and I was like, we must look completely bonkers. Because what do you do?
I haven't got a clue.
Like, what do you say? Like, we've been looking at the houses in the window and we'd like to consider purchasing.
Yeah.
And we had no idea. So we kind of started walking in. And before this point, actually, let's rewind a bit further. Because when we decided we knew we wanted to buy, I mean, fortunately, I think it's worth disclaiming that we both grew up in London. So we've both lived at home up until last year when we bought. So neither of us have had to move out. We've never had that kind of big uprooting to go to a city to live in and work. So we're very lucky in that sense.
I agree with that. But I also think that people that have grown up in London have got different pressures. Like, I've got friends who've grown up in London. And because houses are so expensive, for you to stay in the city that you were born in, that your friends and family, you know, that's quite a pressure in itself.
There is that.
I agree with what you said. You know, you are lucky, but at the same time, that's an insane amount of pressure, you know,
because
you
want the cities to grow up in, you kind of think, oh, well, everything's here. And I have, like, if I want to buy a house, I either have to move to a different city or save, which is what we did. We were very, very fortunate in that we did have the time and, you know, the privilege to stay at home and save. But when we decided we wanted to buy a house, both being self-employed, it was really tricky. And fortunately, but I think one of the most valuable things I learned was to get a mortgage advisor / broker.
We're laughing because, like, how does one get one?
Well, I mean, this guy that we got advice from was my parents' mortgage advisors.
Right, okay.
They said, let's have a meeting with Darren. And that was probably the best thing we did because I think when it comes to buying a house, I needed someone to speak to me as if I were an alien or a child.
Yeah.
I was like, I want you to tell me how much I need or how much I will need to save for a deposit if I want to be able to buy a one or two bedroom flat house thing. Building.
Tell me.
Part of a building, anything.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Word of mouth. I've nearly spoken to a mortgage advisor a couple of times, but they were all word of mouth recommendations, yeah. And they'd previously worked with self-employed people.
Yeah,
I think recommendations are always good for that kind of thing.
That was the best thing, and I have recommended him to other people as well, and would be happy to if anyone wanted to get in touch. I won't share his details here because I don't know how much he'll appreciate that.
I just wanted to chat.
But he was so useful because he was a couple of years before we decided, like before we bought, he was able to say, okay, so you need this much saved, this is what you can get for it, and if you wanted to be able to afford a bit more, this is how much more you need saved.
So you kind of two years before,
yeah,
kind of knew what your goals were.
Yeah, and I think it was setting those goals, which was the most important thing, because these things do take time, and I've been saving quite a bit previously as well to that, but it was good to have a goal and a point where he was like, okay, so by the time it gets to April of 2017, you can file that tax return, and then you can start looking.
Yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? Because we're renting at the moment. Well, we've always rented. What we should have done in hindsight is file both of our tax returns in April.
Yeah.
So that we wouldn't have had to have a guarantor situation, which is what we're in now. So me and Jack are both self-employed, but we've always had to have a guarantor because I don't really know, really. Because I guess if we had done a proper tax return...
Is it like a proof of income?
Yeah, but I think we always earn less than what they wanted, so that's why we had to have a guarantor. Or like I was self-employed, Jack was employed, and vice versa. And we've always just had really messy working situations, like a bit of a PAYE job here and a bit of a self-employed job here. Basically, what a guarantor is, they have to say that if you don't pay the rent, they'll pay it for you. You like run off to Mexico or something. Yeah. But the problem is my dad's self-employed, and so is my mum, so is Jack's mum. The only person that isn't self-employed is Jack's dad,
right,
who is lovely, but you know, it's not as quick for him to fill out an online form.
Yeah.
So Jack had to kind of go around, and he was really helpful, and he did it, and he got approved because he's on PAYE and has regular income. But it's a bit of a pain, just relating to what you said about tax return. I wish if Jack had done his tax return in April, we probably wouldn't have had to do that. But anyway, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
That's the thing, and it was good to know because it gave us an idea about how much tax we'd have to pay for the year going forward as a self-employed person, and also have something to show a bank and get it signed off. And that was another thing when we did our tax returns. Obviously, if you're not self-employed, you don't need to worry about this, but I have an accountant who was able to sign off properly.
Yeah.
Normally, I do all my tax returns myself, which makes life a lot easier. And because Joe is a trained accountant, it helps. But
is he?
Yeah, he's a trained accountant.
Oh, I mean, he's so helpful. Me and Jack just, you know, when you're picking a life partner, sometimes it's just...
If you ever need any assistance in that department, but having someone to sign it off for you. But I think coming back to the mortgage broker thing, it was so helpful having someone who could then advise on the best banks to approach for mortgages. Like, he was very quick to say, okay, these banks will be quite tricky if you're self-employed because they're a bit dubious about loaning to certain people. And equally, he could approach the right people. So that was such a relief. And the cost of working with a mortgage broker was so minimal in the grand scheme of things when you are transferring a deposit to someone or a bank even, not just one person. But it felt so rewarding. That's probably the biggest thing I learned was to speak to someone and have an adult who
adult in the room. Help.
Just to guide you through and even be able to say, okay, I can recommend a solicitor and... Just point you in the direction of all the things that are so daunting and scary because the amount of paperwork there is.
You have to get life insurance if you buy a house, which I never knew.
Oh, that's the thing. All these different things you have to sign up for and apply for and make sure you can get approved. And it's quite overwhelming.
But he took you through all the process.
It was so, so helpful. And he could advise on the best things and should lay out the different deals and the interest and all these things that I have no idea about. I feel like you feel embarrassed saying it, but then no one teaches you these
things. Nobody teaches you. And how did you tackle saving? I mean, obviously it was great for you because you were living at home, but, you know, at the same time, you're still making sacrifices.
Yeah, I think it was just that, making sacrifices and knowing, like, how to budget and whether that you'd be taking out a certain amount of money each week and saying, right, I mean, for my job especially, I can... if I'm not looking at money, I can go into London every day, for example, which adds up, and I can be like, oh, I'll be in meetings every day. But it's kind of saying, right, I'll go into London a couple of times a week and then be really sensible. Mm. And I think, especially with what I do, there is a lot of pressure to be like on top of it, and shopping and like sharing and hauling. And that's another thing in itself.
That's another topic. But that's another topic. Yeah, I know what you mean. You feel the pressure sometimes to have new stuff and you're like, no.
But that's the thing. And you kind of have to... it is hard because you are sacrificing for a while, and luckily I was at home, so things obviously were a bit more affordable because I, you know, you waver when you're with your parents a little bit, so there is that saving time. But I think being able to budget, I know that actually anyone that might follow her already, Megs from Wonderful You, did a brilliant video about saving for a deposit because she bought a house recently, and she had so many amazing tips in there. So her YouTube channel is wonderful_you, and with the letter, and she's just so useful, whether it was things like getting an Odeon Limitless card so you can still go out and do things.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day about rail cards for people that aren't the young person's rail card. So
there's
for
a couple ones.
Yeah, like and there's a couple one, and there's a network rail card. That was for Southern, so I'll be interested, obviously, when I move, whether I can get one. And you still get a third off travel off-peak? And just daft things like that.
Just little things that you actually... It makes such a difference. Mm. Like, I know travelling after 9:30, so booking my meetings after a certain time and using my rail card at that time. And just trying to be really sensible with little things like that because the little things often add up the most.
Yeah, which is what I'm guilty of. So I don't have any savings, just in case anybody's listening thinking... like, good for you, Liv, but help, I'm in that boat, which is, you know, my responsibility. But another reason we're moving is so that I can concentrate on expanding my business and saving, basically, so that we can start. Me and Jack have always had like quite creative jobs, in the fact that when Jack was trying to break into the TV industry, he wasn't earning anything. Like, runners typically don't earn any money, and we were living with Jack's parents, which again is a really fortunate position to be in, but obviously there was no income. So when we lived with them, we weren't kind of, we were saved a bit, but it was more kind of so he could break into the industry and get paid. So we've never really kind of caught up with our own tail, is that the phrase?
Yeah, something like that. I know what you mean.
Something about cats and tails, or is it dogs? Who knows? So we actually haven't got any money saved, and which actually leads me on to one of the questions that we had been asked, which was, we've answered the one from Nikki van der Molen, the difficulties of renting or buying as a self-employed person. It seems so much more complicated than it is for people with full-time employment. So I think you've kind of covered that. And Nikki, when it comes to renting, as I say, we've had to have a guarantor, which as I say, my dad couldn't be my guarantor. And some people, you know, you don't have family that can be your guarantor. And it is difficult.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's just... I think the way it is.
We had to ask, I think we asked neighbours in the end. But I don't know, I can't remember what it actually was, but you do have to get so many things approved by different people in full-time careers that aren't family or aren't direct. Like, it's so difficult. But I think asking someone like a mortgage broker or a mortgage advisor, especially for buying, who has dealt with self-employed people before, and, you know, you can prove that you do earn enough.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like, certain letting agents have really kind of crazy requirements that they want from self-employed people. So my dad, to be my guarantor, had to have a spare £30,000 just sat there in cash. And it was like, my dad doesn't have 30 grand's worth of cash just sat there. So...
The hoops people make you jump through.
Yeah, and it's just kind of not getting cross about it in a way. So like things like that app helps, because you can get really wound up and you're like, but I'm a good, decent human being, and it makes you feel like you've done something wrong, or as somebody said in my DMs, you know, they make you feel criminal sometimes, and you've just got to, that's the process, and until it changes, you've just kind of got to breathe and just jump through those hoops, unfortunately.
I think that's it, like, especially with us, like, doing tax returns in April, to give yourself enough time to save for them and to know how much money you can afford and how much you will be earning in the next year is so helpful as well, because it kind of gives you a bit more of a gauge on how much is actually possible to save.
Yeah, because I had a shocker of a tax return this year, as in there's a thing called, what is it, payment on accounts?
Yes.
Whereas if you owe more than £1,000 worth of tax, you have to pay half of the next year's upfront. And I just didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not complaining about paying tax. I'm just, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, so I'd estimated it. And then they were like, oh, and here's the other half of next year's you have to pay. And I was like, Whereas if I'd done it in due course.
Yeah, you can kind of factor that in a little bit. But you don't, no one tells you these things.
No, I love to tell people that now.
Yeah.
You know, in that way, I need to be more responsible with my finances a bit rather than sometimes just go on Zara.com when I should probably just do my accounts instead. But sorry, back to this question. So Mindy Sue Whittock from the Facebook group said the pressure to own a home when you hit your 30s and commitment issues to staying in one place. I'm 31, soon to be 32 on Sunday. Not mentioned it. Did feel it. I felt it so much. But what can I do about it?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I can be a bit more financially savvy. I can save up. I'm going to put a kind of saving strategy in place. But and I think it's difficult because sometimes parents or different generations could be like,
it's expected.
Yeah. And I just kind of said to them, we can't. Do you mind not saying that to us every time? Because you're making us feel a little bit guilty and a little, you know, and actually what we have achieved is amazing.
And it's so much more than just bricks and mortar.
Yeah, and there's so many people in that boat. And I'm interested, because there are so many people in that boat, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Because I think something's going to change because there's so many of us.
Yeah.
But in a way, it's what we did on a previous episode about kind of expectations and comparison. Liv's 24, she's bought a house. I'm nearly 32 and I've not bought a house. It's just different circumstances.
And that's the thing. I think it's appreciating that everyone's situation is so different. And I think it doesn't, I mean, traditionally you kind of feel there's always that pressure to be like, oh, you meet someone, you buy your house, you get married, you have a baby. And it's not like that anymore. Like, I can't think of a single friend that's done anything like that in that order. And I think it's almost accepting that that isn't the norm, whatever the norm is. And everyone has that different journey. And buying a house isn't a symbol of anything necessarily. It doesn't mean you're more successful or...
Well, as I always say to myself, I'm like, I haven't bought a house yet, but who knows, in 10 years' time, I could buy a house outright in cash.
Yeah.
I don't know where...
I think that's
where
it.
Life's going to take me. I do like that vision. Just open the suitcase, the money's in there.
It's in there, take it.
And it's in 50s because, you know, why not?
That's what you can do when you walk into the estate agent. I got the money in 50s.
They'll be like, we don't take cash for houses, please get out.
Like, oh, that's odd. But I do think that, like, I spoke to one of my friends recently and I think for her it was always very much like, oh, they'll save up, they'll buy the house, then they'll get married. But I think recently it's actually completely changed because you think, well, why should we wait to do these things we've been wanting to do just until we have a house? And, you know, these things are all expensive. Getting married's expensive, buying a house is expensive. And we put ourselves under so much pressure. And I think getting to the point where you think it's not the be all and end all, it doesn't, you know, prove anything, is quite freeing because it's so different.
I used to get, like, I remember 29, 30, used to really kind of get guilt about not, we were nowhere near. You know, when people say you need to get your foot on the ladder, we didn't even have a ladder.
Yeah.
We didn't. And now I don't care.
I think, especially as when you're renting as well, you have the freedom to move about and it's almost putting the shoe on
another foot. There are definitely luxuries to renting. Something breaks, you call your letting agent, your landlord, they come in and sort it, hopefully, if, you know, they're a decent human. Which Julia Julia, sorry if I pronounced your surname there wrong, but you said maybe you could give us some info on the Help to Buy ISA. And to be honest, I just said to Liv, we're not financial institutions, so we're not the best people to ask. But actually, it was good because it refreshed my memory on it. So the government do a Help to Buy ISA. And you can put, I think, £1,200 in the first instalment, and you can pay £200 in each month. And then the government will top that up by 25%, up to £3,000. Very confusing once I've just said that out loud.
Yeah.
But if you go on .gov.uk and go on affordable home ownership schemes, there's different things on there. But I am going to open a Help to Buy ISA actually this summer. I'm going to pinky promise myself.
I think there's a few apps as well to help advise you as well. So maybe we can pop them in the description or Facebook group to point people in that direction as well, because there is so much advice out there.
Let's have a look through the remaining questions. We're going to talk about decorating in a bit. Oh, actually, a quick one for you, Liv. So Beth Morris asks, things to look at when looking at houses or flats to buy. Tips on how long the whole process takes and saving up money. So we've talked about maybe how long the process takes.
Yeah.
So when you saw your the house that we're in, how long did that take from you seeing it to getting the keys?
We were quite fortunate, namely because, I mean, we'd been looking on Rightmove and Zoopla and all the websites for a really long time before. So we knew exactly the areas we could afford to buy in. We knew what we could get for our money and we knew what was really important. So I think it's obviously having those discussions, whether you're on your own or with your partner or with a friend or whoever you're buying with, actually looking at the things that are really important to you. Yeah. So we knew we didn't want to compromise necessarily on area. We knew the area we wanted to live in, but we were happy to compromise on whether it was a flat or a house or how many bedrooms it had. Those were the more negotiable things.
Location.
I think that's it. It's working on what's important to you. Whereas obviously if you're more happy, if you really want like 3 bedrooms, you will have to compromise on location and vice versa. So we'd got a really clear idea about things like that. We had been looking and we tried to not look too much until we had the real sign off, because there's no point, it will just upset you seeing things come and go. And obviously things did come and go.
That's a good tip, actually, even with renting.
Don't look until you can.
Yeah, because I've done that so many times and then made inquiries, like almost wasted people's time as well as my own time.
Yeah.
We weren't ready. That's the thing. What's the point?
And it's heartbreaking because you see things and you're like, that is it. That's the house. That's where I want to live. And you can't go. There's no way you can do it. So I think trying to avoid that. I mean, maybe at the beginning, giving yourself a bit of an idea, but then after that, saying, right, we're going to draw a line here. So we did all that, and then we looked at a few places. I mean, this was the third place we looked at, so it was it was quite a quick process for us. But the time after we put the offer in to the time we moved in, it was quick. I mean, I'd heard so many stories from people prior to that moment where people had said it could take up to a year, it could take more, it could take less. Fortunately, the people we bought from, the woman was pregnant and they'd gone to an end of...
Oh, there's nothing like a pregnant person if you want something done quick.
Oh, yes. They were ready to leave.
Yeah.
And the thing is, obviously, we were end of chain because we were first-time buyers. They were going to an end of chain property. So we didn't have chains either side, which was so lucky. And obviously, that sped up the process so much more. Obviously, it still took I think it still took about 4 or 5 months, which is not a huge amount of time.
That blows my mind
in the grand scheme of things. It was quick from start to finish, but that is the fact that we were chain free is a huge thing there, because if you've got a huge chain of people behind you all waiting, that can massively affect it.
Well, you've just got so many people's circumstances
to
consider,
that's the thing, and I feel like that won't ever happen again for us, obviously, because whenever we move now, we are going to have a chain, and it's very unlikely that will happen again. So we were lucky there, and it was a one-off. But looking at places, this is another silly thing, it makes me sound about 8 years old, but taking an adult to look at the places.
Oh, absolutely. My dad's good for that. You know, he knows what walls are what, he knows damp, he can see, like... bringing up Escape to the Chateau, but like there's a divide in France where it's like above a certain region you get woodlouse and rot and things like that.
And if you don't know that, I mean, we looked at a flat and we were like, this is gorgeous. And I went with my granddad and he was very quick to say, look at all this damp. This is going to be really problematic. Mm. And because it's part of a flat, you're going to have to accommodate for all the other people if you want to do building work.
Well, that's another thing. I know a few people that have bought kind of council places and they have to think every now and again, building works need to be done, and then they're slapped with a massive bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't have known about
that. The thing, I was very much like, well, we're buying it, we can do whatever, and it's not the case. If you're in a building that has 3 or 4 other occupants, it's then accommodating the fact that if you want to do something, how it's going to affect the building. Like, there's so many factors to take on board. But I think it's getting someone who can point out those things that you're going to need work there, because obviously the house will be surveyed before you buy it, but it's having someone that can say you're looking at this kind of work to do. So taking an adult to look out for those things and, you know, really knowing what you're looking at.
Well, you can get swept away in the whole emotion, even with renting. Like when we saw our house, my stomach flipped when I saw it on the internet because it had really nice bathroom tiles. But and you don't get that a lot in rented properties. But we're lucky. We met the landlord. They said we can do whatever we want decorating wise. However, you know, sometimes landlords say that and... That's not the case. It's always good to get in your contract. But also, I've started to look at the deposit that you put down for renting. And it shouldn't be like this. But, you know, hopefully we'll get our deposit back on our flat. We've done loads of work to it to make it better. But I'm going to look at that as like renting fees in a way.
Yeah.
If I get it back, it's a bonus. And, you know, that money is needed. But I'm almost like not tying my emotions up in that money because it could ruin my whole month sat waiting for that that money.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's sounds like a bit of an outlandish thing to say. But, you know, if I don't let that money rule me.
Yeah.
And we do need it. It would be amazing to get that back. But, you know, if especially in the new place, I don't plan on leaving it for a long time. So if I divide that money up per month, that's kind of like my renting fee in a way. Even though I'm already paying fees, but I don't know. Me and my friend kind of looked at it because you can just get so cross about so many things when you're renting and buying houses that, you know, it can just become such an emotionally draining process.
Oh, of course it can. It can be exhausting.
So I think mindset's quite interesting. But I'm just going to go to a question that Zoe Lindsley asked, which is living in London versus moving away from London. Does Charlotte have any regrets about moving away? Obviously it has been, it has its benefits in terms of space and cost, but do you miss it? Would you ever move away? I have no regrets about leaving London whatsoever. None. And we, when we lived in London, said we will never leave London. Like, this is the best place ever. I think you can get quite London-centric in a way.
Oh, you can massively.
And there is a world outside London, which I was amazed about when I left. I was like, oh, it's all still working. And it took some adjustment. You know, I can't get delivery sushi whenever I like. We don't have Ubers. Well, let's not get into that debate. But, you know, things are a bit slower. In Margate, most things are shut on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, almost Thursday. You just get used to it.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the mental headspace of living outside London.
And I think the kind of community feel as well. I mean, I feel like because I've grown up in London and my family here and my friends are here, it'd be a lot harder to leave. Mm. And I feel like if my family were in a different city or a town or I didn't have these ties, I'd probably be open to moving outside of London because of the space, because of, you know, like all of those things. Like,
And I think now I come back to London and I enjoy it. So I come back and I just kind of do the nice stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have to do the schlepping on the bus or, on a Sunday when the tubes. But I love London, but that's me personally, you know.
It's so congested. It's very fast paced and it's definitely not for everyone. And I do think like that's why I love exploring different UK cities so much, because I know there is such an exciting world outside of London.
Yeah.
And if my family and friends weren't here, maybe I would consider it. But unfortunately, I feel like there's just too many ties here
at the moment. I think for a lot of people, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Like, I think the world is evolving in 2018. And when I left uni, you had to go to London. Like, there was no other kind of creativity. Whereas now there's all these, like, pockets. Like, in one way, the gentrification of London is, you know, completely absurd and totally unfair. But what that has allowed, on the other hand, is for creativity to spread outside of London because there was no other choice.
Yeah, completely.
So where we're moving, it's an hour and 20 minutes on the train and there's loads going on. And the same with Margate, you know, that's created its own little community. So I don't know. It just depends what kind of person you are, I think. It's definitely individual.
I think completely. It's so dependent. It's career dependent. It's like there's so many factors, but I do think there is so much more going on outside of London. And even, you know, when I do my city guides for the blog, it's made me, like, you know, it's really opened my eyes to that.
Yeah.
I think there are so many other lifestyles to be had that are outside the kind of chaos and bubble that is London. I mean, I love it. I'm very, very biased. But coming at it from a different point of view, I think you don't have to be in London to flourish in a career. You don't have to be in London to be successful. And I think gradually people are shaking that, and that's really positive.
Yeah, I think that's exciting. I've just realized we've been talking for quite some time, so shall we do, we've got two more questions which kind of are the same. So Samina Sheriff said, any tips for putting your stamp on a rented property? And India Papalado said, how can I make a place feel like home when you can't paint or change furniture? I've got plants everywhere, but that doesn't stop the walls from being speckled yellow and cream. India, why can't you paint? Is the landlord saying no?
I think it's worth asking. Sometimes I had this conversation with a friend recently, and if you are doing something that's very neutral and is actually going to improve the style of the property, I think it's worth asking.
Or, and I know that this is an expense, but could you paint it and then paint it back to the speckled yellow and cream if they love it that much?
Yeah.
I know that that's not ideal, but somebody sent me a message actually on Instagram, and we have lovely wooden floors in our flat, but I've been dying to sand them for 2 years, and I nearly did it. And I changed my mind, but she said that I think it was her granddad that just said, just make your here and now.
Yeah.
Like, don't kind of worry about the tomorrow.
Yeah, you know? Completely.
So we actually didn't end up sanding the floors, but I thought she had quite a good point. But I know it is difficult with some landlords. I know it is.
You did something really cool, I think, when you had your, when I came over to your house the first time, you had these, you've got these amazing curtains, which you put up.
Oh yeah, my palm.
And the way curtains. You covered the sofas as well, I thought that was really cool, your red leather sofas.
Oh my goodness, remember the red leather sofas? So we, our flat was unfurnished, but came with two red leather sofas and two red leather bar stools of all the things. I'm not against red leather, it just wasn't my bag, but eBay's such a good place. So it was a three-seater leather settee and trying to get a throw big enough.
Yeah.
But we got one off eBay for about 60 quid. You can chuck them in the washing machine.
Yeah.
We eventually asked our landlord. I always think this is good as well. Asking your landlord bit by bit, because if you kind of go in there, all guns are blazing, like, I want the settee removed, I want this, I want that. We just did it like little bit by bit. So they left a really old barbecue on the decking and we got rid of it for them. We eventually got rid of the settees, but we just did it bit by bit. We didn't kind of go in and say...
Because it puts someone's back up otherwise. They're like, what do you mean you don't like all of those things? Yeah. Even if they're not great, I think it can make someone think, well, you're the ones renting. Like, it's my place.
Mm. You can get temporary wallpaper. And there's somebody I follow in Palm Springs, and she's called Melodrama. And there's an American company that does removable wallpaper. And obviously, that's not really ideal because you'd have to pay import duties and tax. But when I started looking into it, there are UK companies that do temporary wallpaper.
Oh.
And there's also these temporary fixings that you can get on Amazon for pictures. Mm. If your landlord's really against you putting pictures up. I can't remember what they're called, but have a look at temporary fixings for pictures. They also work.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is wall decals.
Oh yeah.
Who knew I'd be talking about decals 2 weeks in a row? but you can get them, and again, you can put those up on your walls. But
throws
are great.
Curtains, if rugs. You can. Rugs.
Rugs are expensive, but yeah. Laradute often do 30-40% off their rugs.
They've always got sales on, haven't they? And they've got some lovely rugs.
Yeah, and I do think eBay, I know I said, but we've got our bed from eBay, and I think the bed frame was like 180 quid for a super king.
You can, if you shop around, you can find some good ones, I think.
Yeah, what else have I done in renting? A curtain. So H&M, my curtains are from H&M and they come unhemmed, but I have really high ceilings, so I haven't actually trimmed ours. And then the curtain rails we got from Wilco for a tenner each.
Yeah.
It's really searching and trying not to do every room at once.
Yeah, I think, just pacing yourself, because I think you can get really excited. And that's the same with buying. If you've got a house, it's so exciting to decorate, but I do think pacing yourself and actually working out what you want and not spending.
Otherwise you end up spending double because you got so excited and then actually that doesn't go with that. And
that's the thing. And buying a house is expensive, and let alone furnishing a house. I mean, we were in our house for such a long time without sofas, without a bed and without a dining table. I think the dining table came maybe within a week.
Look at it now.
Yeah, and it's just been such a gradual process. There's still a lot we need to do, but it's like pacing yourself and realizing that you can't do everything at once, and that's fine, and there's no shame in that, and you don't have to have it all perfect.
Well, that's the thing, you don't need to have a Pinterest perfect house, and I think that, again, there's a lot of pressure for that.
Oh, there's an enormous amount.
Make yourself a Pinterest perfect nook if you're that patient. That's what I think I did.
Yeah, one nook that one you can corner. Just enjoy.
Yeah, I'll just photograph you from every angle I can.
Exhaust that. Flat lays.
Yeah, but in the new house that we're renting, again, I think mindset has got a lot to do with this. You know, you can look at what you haven't got.
But look actually, at what you have got.
Yeah, you know, you've got a roof over your head and things like that. And I just know that we're not going to rush this house because I don't want to move for a long time until I buy my house.
Exactly. I'm gonna manifest that.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's any landlords in here, if they've got any tips or things.
Yeah, I totally see why landlords can be protective. You know, if you've been stung with bad tenants in the past, but yeah, you know, maybe we should have a fringe of it, a tenancy agreement, because we're all nice people.
Yeah, that's it. We can just all keep it in the group.
Oh God, we've whittled on for over an hour.
God, we are on one
but
today.
But there's so much to say about renting and buying.
I think we've only just touched on the tip here.
Yeah, I hope we've kind of helped with all the questions. So maybe we'll do that a bit more because we've planned topics for at least the next 2-3 months, haven't we?
Open up the floor. And I think it is the most important takeaway, I do think, is just acknowledging that everyone's situation is different.
Yeah.
And comparison obviously leaks into this, and trying not to look at what stages other people around you are at, because no one is the same.
Yeah, and everyone's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's stage in life, and you never know where you're going to catch up. And I think I've said it in a previous episode, all of a sudden you kind of stop to think and you're like, oh, I'm here.
But that's the thing. And I remember when, I don't know, before we'd bought, I saw like someone I knew had inherited a lot of money. I was like, oh, like they can buy. But then I was like, but they've had to inherit that money to be in that position.
Would you like a family member to die so that you can have your house?
That's the thing. And you think, you know, you can't have it all. And I think acknowledging that no one has it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely nobody does.
Like there's always a compromise somewhere. And I think acknowledging that no one has it easy to get to buy, to get to rent, to get to do anything. So just appreciate where you're at as well. And don't feel like you have to rush.
I one more thing about buying things. Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, do you like that feature?
Oh my goodness. If you dig deep, you've got to really have, like...
I think it's a bit of a weird part of the internet.
Oh no. she's called the vintage house that could on Instagram, where we found some gems on there. People give away stuff for free. They just want it out of their house. I use it to get rid of stuff for free.
Do people, people on it?
Yeah. I mean...
Well, but there's my weekend sorted.
You're going to love or hate it, though. You've got to trawl through a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah. That's all I ever see.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I see the bar stools and the sofas. Yeah. I'm out.
And it's all from my house, the red leather ones. Now I've left it on a very peculiar note of Facebook Marketplace, but I think we're going to wrap it up for today.
I think that's a good idea.
I hope you all have a lovely weekend.
Yeah.
And we will speak to you next week.
Have a glorious week.
If you would like to rate or review us on iTunes, it helps other people find us, which hopefully means more people in the Facebook group, which means more friends for you.
Bit of bribery there, as always.
I'm going to change that up, but I've kind of memorised it now.
I know, so we've got...
I'll write something else for next week.
We promise. Have a lovely week.
Goodbye.
Bye.